Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to be looking at something that might seem kind of far away from our little corner of Southeast Houston, Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena.
Right.
But trust me, this is something that could really have an impact on what we're seeing and saying online, right here at home.
Absolutely.
We're talking about online censorship, and specifically how American tax dollars are actually being used to fund these organizations that are involved in these censorship efforts over in Europe.
Yeah, you might be thinking, Europe, what does that have to do with me?
Right.
But you got to remember the internet has no borders.
Exactly.
And decisions that are made across the pond, can easily ripple out and affect all of us.
For sure. And that's exactly why we're doing a deep dive today.
Yeah.
We're looking at an investigative report from the Foundation for Freedom Online.
The FFO.
Yeah, the FFO, that's right. And the report's called 23 U.S.-Funded Organizations Drive the EU's War on Tech Companies.
Catchy title.
It is catchy, and we're going to be unpacking some pretty surprising facts, like how much money these organizations are getting and, who's really pulling the strings behind the scenes.
Yeah, so let's talk about the EU.
Okay.
They have something called the Digital Services Act.
Ooh, the DSA.
The DSA, that's right. It's basically their attempt to regulate content on these big American tech platforms like Facebook, Google.
Right.
The one formerly known as Twitter X.
Oh, so wait, are they coming for our cat videos? Is that what we're worried about here?
Not quite, although, I'm sure some people would argue that there are already enough cat videos out there.
That's true.
But the DSA is really mainly focused on what they consider misinformation.
Okay.
And hate speech. And here's the thing. The EU can actually hit these companies with some pretty hefty fines.
Oh, wow.
If they don't play by their rules.
So there are some serious teeth to this DSA thing.
Yeah.
So where do these American organizations fit in? Like, how are they involved?
Well, the EU also has what they call a voluntary code of practice on disinformation.
Oh, interesting.
Now I say voluntary.
Right.
With, a pretty healthy dose of skepticism.
Sure.
Because it's quickly becoming mandatory for these tech companies to operate in Europe.
I see.
So they could be legally obligated to censor content that the EU finds problematic.
So less of a suggestion and more of a do this or else.
You got it.
Okay.
Now, the FFO report identified 23 U.S.-funded organizations that are playing a key role in all of this.
Okay.
Some are what they call signatories, meaning they endorse and they legitimize the EU's code of practice.
Right.
Others are what you might call enforcers.
Okay.
They're actively working to identify and target content that they deem harmful.
And get this, some organizations are actually doing both.
Yeah.
They're both signatories and enforcers, like NewsGuard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the ones that put those nutrition labels on websites?
Right.
Some people see that as just a way to blacklist certain sources.
Well, and it's a valid concern when you look at the fact that NewsGuard received $750,000 from the Department of Defense.
Wow.
And they have advisors that are connected to the NSA, the CIA, and the State Department.
Oh, wow.
So they're not only endorsing these EU censorship efforts, they're actually actively working to implement them through these things called digital observatories.
Hold on. Digital observatories. That sounds like something out of like a sci-fi movie or something.
It does, doesn't it? But picture it like a neighborhood watch.
Okay.
But for the internet, there are these EU-backed groups that are tasked with monitoring these online platforms for anything they consider a harmful narrative.
So NewsGuard is part of that.
They're right in the thick of it. Yeah.
So it's not just some fringe groups pushing this. We're talking about like established players.
Yeah.
With some serious connection.
Big time. And it doesn't stop there.
Oh, no.
Remember the Global Disinformation Index we talked about?
Yeah.
They're taking aim at the wallets of media outlets they don't like.
How are they doing that?
So they created this exclusion list that's meant to be used by advertisers.
Okay.
And the goal is to financially cripple those news sources that don't toe the line.
So it's like a do not fund list.
Exactly, a do not fund list.
Wow, that's really aggressive. And this organization is getting U.S. funding too?
Yep. They receive $330,000 both directly from the State Department and through the National Endowment for Democracy.
Wow. It looks like a pretty tangled web here.
Yeah, it really is. And it gets even more interesting when you start looking at organizations like Bellingcat,
right,
which is this open source intelligence group that's actually been praised by the U.S. intelligence community.
Hmm.
And they've gotten funding from the National Endowment for Democracy.
Okay.
They're also knee deep in these digital observatories, helping shape what information gets flagged.
It's interesting how even agents France Presse,
right,
the world's oldest news agency, is involved,
yeah,
in EU disinformation monitoring. And they've received millions from the U.S. government, including the Department of Defense and U.S. aid.
It's wild.
Okay, so we've kind of unmasked some of the players here. Now let's talk money. How much are we talking about here?
All right, so brace yourself.
Okay.
Because these 23 organizations have collectively received over $15 million in government grants and awards.
I just want to repeat that for our listeners, $15 million of American taxpayer money has gone to organizations that are pushing for online censorship in Europe.
And that's just what we know about.
Right.
There could be even more funding flying under the radar.
So what does all of this mean for us here in, you know, Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena? What does this say about the priorities of the U.S. government? I mean, we're sending millions of dollars overseas to potentially limit online speech.
Right.
But we have people here at home that are struggling with things like infrastructure and education.
It raises some interesting questions, for sure.
It does.
So welcome back to the deep dive. Before the break, we were talking about, you know, how those U.S. tax dollars are being funneled to these organizations that are involved in these online censorship efforts over in Europe.
And we left off with a pretty big question.
Yeah.
How could this transatlantic censorship strategy actually directly impact what we see and say online here in the U.S.?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Think about it this way. These EU regulations, they're like a big incentive for these tech companies to just censor everything.
Right.
Just to be on the safe side.
Because they don't want to risk those big fines.
Exactly. They don't want to mess with that. And remember, these companies, they're global.
Right.
It's a lot easier for them to just have like one set of rules for everybody than to try to tailor things to different countries.
So you're saying that even if something is like perfectly legal to post here in the U.S.,
right,
it could still get taken down if it violates the EU's stricter rules.
That's definitely a possibility, and we've already seen it happening. I mean, remember when Elon Musk resisted those censorship demands in Brazil?
Oh, yeah. He stood his ground.
He did.
Refused to take down some content, and then Twitter.
Or X Now.
X Now. Yeah, they got banned in the whole country.
The entire country.
It's crazy.
It is, and it's a really powerful example of how these foreign governments can put the squeeze on these tech giants.
Right.
And it really highlights that potential for a chilling effect on free speech.
It's like a domino effect. You know, if companies start censoring to avoid trouble in one place, it sets a precedent that can easily be, you know, replicated somewhere else.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what makes this transatlantic connection so worrying.
Okay.
The EU is essentially setting a global standard for online censorship.
Wow.
And if it works there, what's to stop it from spreading to other countries,
including the U.S.
Especially the U.S.
Especially when you consider that some of the key players pushing this are American organizations.
It's true. It's almost like a backdoor for U.S. disinformation researchers to get what they want indirectly.
And speaking of those researchers, the FFO report actually quotes Kate Harbath.
Oh, right.
Who's a former Facebook executive.
Yep.
And she's become a pretty prominent figure in this whole censorship industry.
She has. What did she have to say?
Well, she basically admitted that European laws like the DSA could help censors regain access to social media data that they've lost.
So it sounds like they're trying to work around the pushback that they've been getting in the US.
Right.
By using the EU as leverage.
It's a pretty clever strategy, honestly.
It is. It's like they're leveraging international pressure to achieve something that they haven't been able to do at home. It's a perfect example of how those regulations in one part of the world can have like these unintended consequences in another.
So let's connect this back to our listeners here in, you know, Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena.
Sure.
Why should they care about all of this? How could it impact their lives?
Well, for starters, it could actually limit the information that they're able to access online.
Even information that's like legal and relevant to their lives.
Yeah, potentially. The more power these, you know, censorship-minded organizations have, the greater the risk that valuable information is going to get caught in their net.
Right.
You know, you might be trying to research something that's really important to you, and suddenly it's gone.
Wow.
And it's not just about access to information. It's also about that chilling effect on free speech.
Right.
You know, people are a lot less likely to speak their minds freely if they know they're being watched.
Sure.
And their words could be, you know, flagged as misinformation.
It creates this environment where people are afraid to speak up.
Exactly. And that kind of environment really stifles open debate.
Yeah.
And the free exchange of ideas, it's like being in a library where you're only allowed to read certain books.
And then there's also this whole blurring of lines between government and private entities.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. These private organizations, they're essentially doing the government's bidding.
So when you have these government-funded groups influencing what content gets removed from like Facebook or YouTube, it raises some serious questions about who's really in control.
Absolutely. It's like this shadow censorship system.
Right.
It's operating outside those normal checks and balances that we expect.
In a democracy.
Exactly. It's not transparent, and it's certainly not accountable to the people.
And that's a slippery slope.
Oh, it is a slippery slope, and it's one that we need to be really careful about. You know, the future of online speech is at stake here, and it's really up to all of us to be informed and to be engaged in this debate.
Right.
We need to be asking those tough questions. Who's controlling the information we see online, and what are their motives?
It's easy to feel powerless when you're up against these huge global trends, but, you know, our voices still matter.
They really do.
The more we talk about these issues, the more awareness we raise.
For sure.
And the harder it is for these censorship efforts to operate in the shadows.
Exactly. Change starts locally.
Mm.
If we want to protect free speech online, we need to start by having these conversations right here in our communities.
Right.
With our friends, our neighbors. You know, we need to educate ourselves and each other about the threats to online freedom, and we need to hold our elected officials accountable.
That's what the deep dive is all about.
That's right.
Empowering our listeners to think critically and act locally. What's happening in Europe might seem distant.
Yeah.
But as we've discussed today, it has the potential to impact all of us. So stay tuned for the final part of our deep dive, where we'll leave you with some food for thought. So welcome back to the deep dive. We've been talking about, you know, how those American tax dollars are being used to fund these organizations that are involved in online censorship over in Europe.
And how that could have a real impact right here at home.
Right here in Southeast Houston.
You know, in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena.
Exactly.
It's fascinating because this isn't just some far-off issue.
Right.
You know, it could affect what you see and say online.
Right here.
Right in your own community.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to research something.
Right.
That's really important.
Like local environmental issues.
Yeah, or like upcoming elections, and
right,
suddenly,
poof, it's gone.
Flagged as misinformation.
Wow.
That's a real possibility.
It really is, and it makes you think, we trust these tech companies,
yeah,
to connect us to information.
Right.
But who's really in control of what we see?
That's the question.
Yeah. And are their interests even aligned with ours?
I mean, that's the big question, isn't it? These big tech platforms, they've become the modern day public square.
They really have.
And the potential for censorship, you know, that raises some serious concerns about freedom of speech and access to information.
For sure. And we've seen how quickly things can change online.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about how Elon Musk pushed back against those censorship demands in Brazil.
He did.
And Twitter.
Now X.
Now X ended up being banned in the entire country.
That's power.
It really is. So what can we do about it? I mean, it feels like such a big, complex issue.
It is a complex issue, but, you know, that doesn't mean we're powerless.
Okay.
We can start by being aware of what's happening.
Right.
Check out that full FFR report. We'll link to it in our show notes. It's packed with so much more information than we could even cover today.
Yeah, definitely check that out. And most importantly, talk about it. Share this information with your friends, your family, your neighbors.
Get people talking.
Yeah, let's get people thinking critically about what they're seeing online and who's controlling the narrative.
Absolutely. The more we talk about these issues, the harder it is for censorship to just happen in the shadows.
Exactly.
We need to be engaged.
Right.
And we need to hold our elected officials accountable for protecting our digital freedoms.
Absolutely. Remember, change starts locally.
It does.
What we do here in our communities can have a ripple effect.
Absolutely.
So stay curious, stay informed.
Yeah.
And most importantly, stay engaged. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. And if you find value in what we do and want to support our mission of empowering our local community here in Southeast Houston, please consider donating at thinkanddactlocally.com/donate. You'll find a link in our show notes. See you next time.